Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records, Visions of Morality. New single, D2, is streaming now. 7-inch EP out this summer on Corruption Records and From Within Records. So please do yourself a favor, go stream that new single and get ready for the EP later this summer. Also, shout out to all my friends in Pittsburgh. Two new Pain Clinic tracks are out now. CDs will be available exclusively at This Is Hardcore. So please, for anyone who's going to This Is Hardcore in a couple weeks, make sure to stop by the From Within Records table, grab yourself a copy of the CD, and also shout out Pain Clinic, such an awesome band from Pittsburgh. And shout out to Statement of Pride. They're out in Texas right now on tour with No Warning and End It, ripping a couple awesome dates. So please support them if you're out in Texas. And if you're not following From Within Records on social media, please boot up your Twitter, your Instagram, and click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band, for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing. If you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. You can thank me later. Before we get into today's guests, I just got to address the elephant in the room. There's no video for this episode. Not a big deal. We're going old school for this one. So please just put in your headphones, turn up your stereo or wherever you're listening, and just enjoy the audio form of this podcast. The video will return in the next episode, and it's a little different as well. So we'll get to that in the next one. But please, if you're not familiar with our guest today, shout out Angie from Chicago, runs an awesome zine called Resonating Zine. You can follow them on social media, go to the website. But it was really awesome to be able to sit down and talk with Angie about how she got into hardcore, about the local scene out there in Chicago. It was a pleasure for me to finally be able to get to know her a little better. So please, if you're not familiar, go follow her on social media. Go support what she does for the scene. It's awesome. So please, without further ado, welcome Angie to the show. All right, and we're recording. Welcome to the podcast, Angie. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you taking the time to do the podcast. So thank you for coming here today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, I've obviously follow you on social media, so I've seen the stuff that you've been posting and you know, seen the zine that you're doing, Resonating Zine, which I think is cool. But I'm just curious. For you, how did you get into hardcore, and have you always lived in the Chicago area?
Yeah, so I've always lived in the same town. It's in the suburbs, like I'd say like 30 minutes away from Chicago.
Okay.
As far as how I got into hardcore itself, so first I was more involved in like, I guess like pop punk stuff right after my like scene phase. And there was a pop punk show that had a hardcore band on it, let's keep off here probably. But I saw it and was like, okay, that's interesting. I like that different style of music. And I just kind of started like diving into it more. I met some people online that were more into hardcore. And then my first like real fully hardcore show, was with Twitching Tongues, Harm's Way, I think Malice at the Palace, and then I don't know who else, but yeah, I just instantly was like super attached to it and was like, love the community that's going on here, love the energy here. This is like so much different from anything else I've ever seen, and I want to be in this for a very long time.
That's wild. Twitching Tongues. I'm such a huge fan of that band. So whenever I hear anybody bring them up, I get excited because I always think back to it was like the last time they played and been wanting to see them again. And I've tried to book them numerous times, but I'm happy that they're actually playing a show, Sand and Fury, in a couple weeks. So I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, it's going to be, are you going to that?
Yeah, no, I'll be
That's
there.
It's going to be sick. Awesome.
Yeah,
Sand. Very jealous. Have fun.
Yeah, Sand and Fury is always a good time. They always do an amazing job with putting on the fest. But when you were in your early days of hardcore, did you have like a super solid group that you're going with, or did you just jump to this whole thing like, you know, pretty much solo and you just met friends along the way?
So I guess that's kind of like the part two, is I met friends along the way, but also like people that were also starting to get into hardcore, like my friend Z. Me and her kind of started going to things together because her partner that she met at the time, he was more into it. So like the show that I described is my first show, but my first house show, which again, Z and her boyfriend Eric took me to, that was like a couple months later. And that was kind of when I started having like, okay, when I go to shows, it's like her, Eric, and then like I had some other friends. I go to shows with my aunt a lot. So yeah, it kind of just evolved over time, but at first it was like, all these people look nice, I want to be friends with them. And then yeah,
because I can find starting to get into a new subculture, you're just trying to find your way, can definitely be scary if you don't have like any kind of support system. Because I think back to my early days, I was just so clueless, but wanting to absorb as much knowledge as I could. So I was trying to go to every local show because I was just so surprised that there was this whole scene going on that I just had no idea about. So kind of
like it was right there.
Kind of just jumping in and be like, holy shit, this has been going on, I need to play catch up. And then just finally being a part of it and making friends, it was just a crazy thing to me. That I was like, wow, I was like, I can't believe it. Like this whole time I was like missing out. So I was like, from this moment on, I was like, I can't miss out anymore. I gotta figure this out, be a part of it. And it's been something that I didn't think it would be something that I loved so much. It was just something that I got introduced to me through my older sister, and it's just I was just so attached to it. It was like a very important thing that I had in my formative years of my life. So it's just this crazy thing.
Yeah, that's one thing that's really interesting. I don't think that kids really do this as much now, but so like the pop punk scene in Chicago is, I would say, pretty big. And there was people from that scene that were also involved in hardcore. So I kind of had friends from like that scene. And then when I would go there, I'd be like, oh, I know this person, I've seen them before, whatever. So I do think it's interesting, like not immediately jumping in and like knocking the TikTok kids, but like they kind of just find hardcore and are just like, cool, this is my first subculture. But like for me at the time, because this was like 2015, I want to say, there was very much like a stepping stone where you'd like go through like the various genres sometimes, and then eventually it'd be like, okay, there's a bunch of people I know here. Like this isn't like maybe people you know super closely, but like it's not a whole new scene of like people you've never seen in your life.
Yeah, I don't know where that pop punk and hardcore crossover started, but it's everywhere, which I don't mind, because growing up I loved I still love Newfound Glory, probably like one of my favorite bands, but just to know that there's this crossover that I just never knew existed, it was cool, because I made friends, because not all my hardcore friends like pop punk and not all my pop punk friends liked hardcore. So when I would go to the pop punk shows, because those were the shows that I would go to less than the hardcore shows, so when I would go to those types of shows and I would run into the hardcore kids, it was cool, because it felt like we had like this kinship, and kind of made us better friends, just because we shared this love for this other genre of music that was so closely tied to the genre that we absolutely love, which is hardcore.
Yeah, exactly.
But these days, I always talk about how I still try to dabble with pop punk, and I don't know if it's because I'm older or what, but it's just becoming harder and harder for me to discover newer pop punk bands that I like. The day of this recording, my friends playing this band called Stateside, they just announced that they're doing their second release with New Morality Zine, who I'm sure you're familiar with, and a local label from my here called Extinction Burst. So they're a pop punk band that's playing the type of pop punk that I like, which is pretty insane for me to be into. Like, I'm like super into that band. I can't wait for them to drop the record. There's a music video coming. I hope it's coming, because I went to a music video shoot weeks ago, and I have this vlog that I've been like wanting to post, but I don't want to post it until the music video comes out, because there's like behind the scenes stuff and music and things, so I have to wait. But for anyone who's curious or who likes pop punk, go check out Stateside. They're awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I've booked Take It to Heart before, so I'm like kind of familiar with those dudes. So it's or not kind of familiar. That sounds mean. I know them, but I don't know all the other members of Stateside, is what I mean. If there are, you know what I mean. Anyway, yeah, so it's interesting to see them. Like, I feel like because I've watched my whole life people go from like the pop punk into the hardcore, like that way, to see them go like, okay, we've tried the hardcore band, but like, I think I can bring something to pop punk. Like, that's been really cool.
Yeah, I'm.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I totally get it, and I was such a strong supporter of Take It to Heart, and I'm sure it's no secret they're pretty much done. I don't know if there was like ever like any like official announcement, but whatever. But I was pretty bummed that they didn't do more, because they're all talented. They did the full U.S. tour with Broken Vow, which was awesome, and I booked them a couple times, but I just it just didn't click with people out here. But for some reason, Stateside, that's the vibe. Like, they have this crazy following here locally, and I was lucky enough to catch them in Philly. I was in Philly back in March, and just so happens my last night in Philly was their Philly date, so I went to see them, and to see them have like fans that weren't local, I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. Because like I was like listening to them talk to people and just hearing the stories of like people driving in to see them, and watching kids like buy every piece of merch. It's like, damn, this is crazy. Like, I'm not just being biased because I know them and I like their music. It's actually like clicking with people, not just back home or here at home, but even like in other parts of the country, which I think is so cool, and I'm so happy for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And getting into the hardcore scene, were you all in? Were you like trying to figure out every local band that was going on at the time, or what was your strategy to get more involved and more into hardcore?
Yeah, so I would say I credit first of all, I will not name the group, but there was a Facebook group related to hardcore that I was a part of at this time.
Okay.
Where I would basically, they would kind of like, these were people that were like really, really into hardcore, and I just was kind of like entering it as a newbie. And so I would see them kind of talk about all the big names and everything, and like at the time, and be like, okay, cool, this is like, what's going on. But then other than that, so one thing I remember and I talk about very fondly is at like pop punk shows and stuff, when I was still kind of like moving over, you could not go to a single show without seeing like five people in a Karma shirt. I just remember that Karma was like huge at that time. Other than that, like all the openers of like the shows I was going to, or like the locals rather. So there was like, again, Karma, there was all the bands that like the people from like MH Chaos and Hold My Own were doing at the time, so like Bitter Thoughts, bands like that, Malintent, which was John from Sector, that was his old band. I don't totally remember everybody that was in that band, but I'm sure it's people I know now. So sorry for missing it. But yeah, that's basically it. Is I was really, really invested in like my personal hardcore scene versus like I liked like the stuff that was going on around the country as well. But I just remember I was really, really excited about the stuff that was like happening close to me. So short version of that answer. Yeah, I just kind of would go like, okay, who's on this show? Now who's on this show? Now who's on this show? And just like listen to whole lineups until I was kind of just building up my library.
No, I feel like that's a good way to go about it.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I didn't really have a choice because like when I was getting into hardcore, like MySpace was the social media thing at the time. So that's how like the majority of people figured out about bands back then. And there was so many bands that I like was aware of that were in other parts of the country that I couldn't get to because I was just a young kid and trying to explain to my mom that these older men, right? Because I was like a 15, 16 year old kid and managed to make friends with people in their early 20s, and they're coming to my house and picking me up. And my mom's like, who are these like strange tattooed people picking up my son? And they're like going out of town. This is weird. And I just told my mom, like, yo, like not causing any trouble. Like, it's just this thing that I'm getting into. Like, don't worry, I'll be fine. And she eventually got used to it because I was always just taking off and going to random places. And I was like a teenager, so like, I would have to lie. I didn't really lie. I didn't tell her like the whole truth. Like one time, the first time I went to a Las Vegas hardcore show, I asked my mom, I'm like, hey, can I stay the night at my friend Larry's house? And she said, sure, that's fine. But I didn't tell her that Larry lived in Las Vegas. So me and my friends drove out to Las Vegas, and it was a cool time. But yeah, getting into hardcore in the early days, it was like the thing for me is like, all right, let me figure out what's here. And then I slowly started to branch out, and just through time making friends with people in the Inland Empire and getting to know what was going on like out there, and then branching out to Orange County and LA, and then it just, you know, over time just you kind of figure out that hardcore is everywhere. And it's like this thing that I've always been obsessed with. I feel like I've always had this hunger of trying to find like the best band, which to this day I feel like, all right, this band is it, like I've you know, like found it. But then just, you know, people pop up and they're so talented, or they just find new ways to you know, make old like styles sound really good. So it's just this never ending thing that I've you know, kind of accepted. But it's cool because I've have never lost my like interest or love for hardcore since the day I got into it.
Yeah, same here. And like, it was a little bit of like a slow start of just like trying to go to everything for me, because so when I was new to it, I had to like rely on a certain family member to like be free that night, want to take me to a show with music that they don't like and all that stuff. And then eventually, like I said, I was like, okay, all right, I have a strategy. I'm going to get my friends into it, which that's obviously not why I like got them into it. But so once I started having like trusted friends that could take me to things, I could go to more stuff. And then eventually like I learned how to drive, and then, you know, all bets are off. But like, it's so funny because I had like such strict rules of like, okay, you can only go to a show that's at like a real venue, and it's gotta be at like this time and in this area, whatever. And it was last summer, I went to a show in Gary, Indiana at a junkyard. And I was just like, oh my God. If my mom or my like grandma saw like a picture of where I was at right now, they'd be so upset. This is not something I could have swung before, but like, yeah, now if someone like tells me like, oh, there's going to be a show in like, I don't know, this restaurant that's going to let us host a show one time and then we're never going to go again. Or like, oh, this is under the bridge. I'm like, oh, that sounds like a good time. I'll be under the bridge with you.
Yeah, I used to love going to like the most random places for shows. Yeah. And like out here, like there's a lot of like established venues, so that doesn't happen as often, which is a good thing. I'm not complaining because it's nice to have places to have shows, because I know how hard it is just to find a venue, especially if they're not even aware of what hardcore is. That's like the like the biggest challenge, right? Like, hey, like, yeah, there's gonna be a bunch of people swinging their limbs, karate dancing. It looks crazy, but trust me, like, it's all like, you know, pretty self-contained. Like, it's not as crazy as you think. But but growing up, I remember that was a thing, like just going to, like just getting an address and being like, I think this is the place, right? We would just hit up MapQuest and just take off and hope that we made it to the right spot. So those times I always think back fondly of.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and I'm just curious, for you getting into hardcore, which is what, like mid 2010s, which I think is a good time. And I think there's like hardcore always a good time, because I know people like to look back and the early 2000s was the best, whatever, but there's always great bands going on. I just think people need to appreciate them in real time, so they don't have to look back and try to appreciate it when it's in the past, if that makes sense. Okay, and when did you have the idea to start the zine that you're doing, Resonating Zine?
Hold on, let me do the math really quick. I think we're at 7 years. One second.
No problem.
So let's see. It's 2023. You would think that I would have like remembered this. I'm gonna keep talking while I look, and I'll throw out the number when I definitely have it. But so I think we're on about year 7 now. And basically what happened with like when I got the idea is I was almost brand new to hardcore, which is really funny because I didn't necessarily have like, I don't know if there's any like qualifications to be talking about it. I don't know that I had those. But I just remember like, so like the purpose of it was I had written for like a publication about like pop punk. In I think like 2010, and basically I was like, I might be kind of jumping ahead, I'm sorry, but basically I was like, I want to write for something where I get to just kind of write about whatever genre I want, and I'm not like confined to anything. So I'm just gonna write about whatever I want and see what sticks. And okay, here we go. March 2016. That's your official answer. But it was about a year into me liking hardcore. And that's where I was. I was just kind of writing about whatever I liked, but as my like music taste evolved, it became a pretty strictly hardcore publication. And that is a slightly jumbled version of the beginning of the story. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's crazy. Your zine predates this podcast.
Does it?
Yeah, because I started this in December 2017. So with that, and that's crazy because I don't even like it kind of trips me out when I think about how long I've been doing it, because I don't think about it too often, because I do it every week, right? So I'll record, edit, upload, and all right, on to the next one. And obviously it's still fun to me, but when I take time to take a step back and kind of look at the body of work, I'm just like, holy shit, I can't believe it's been that long, because it doesn't feel like it's been that long, because time flies. It's insane. So to hear that you have been doing this since 2016, I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, and like that's the thing, is it's not been like, not to discredit myself or anything, that's not what I'm meaning to say here, but it hasn't been fully consistent through like the entire time, just due to like some personal stuff that's happened along the way, because again, from 2016, okay, let me do this math once and for all. Okay, it's 7 years. for 7 years, because I think I was also like 18 or something when I started it. maybe 19, you go through a lot of evolution in that time. And there was just like a lot going on behind the scenes, but like the one constant is that which I think is the case for a lot of people. The one constant is just that I really cared about hardcore and kind of found like an escape, something, some kind of happiness in it. Yeah. So it's really interesting to see like, not a lot of other humans have the ability to like, I guess, have one interest that's been so constant through all the different like phases of who they've been, if that makes sense, as much as like people involved in a music scene do. And yeah, it's just kind of cool to see that's always been there, you know?
Yeah, it is interesting because it's like these like very like specific moments in time that you can go back and even just like reading something that you wrote or even hearing yourself speak from, you know, from the past. It's like, holy shit, like that's crazy. And for me, I like to think that I'm pretty consistent with who I am as a human being, right? Because I'm 34 at this point, so I'm pretty sure I have a good grasp on who I am, and I'm, you know, pretty much the same. Like I always have to stress this, right? Like sometimes, like when I ask people to do the podcast, they'll ask like for, you know, prep work or whatever, and I'm just like, dude, there's none. Like the way that I speak to you on the podcast is the way I would speak to you in person, and for all my friends that know me, for everybody that's been on the podcast multiple times, it's like, yeah, like it's just me, right? There's no persona. Or anything like that. So it's it is pretty interesting to be able to have these moments in time to be able to like look back on yourself, because not everybody does things like that, right? Sometimes people you know, live so fast that they don't take time. And it's not, I'm not doing this to for like memories for my life, right? Because I have
It works out that way, you know?
It's just like a little bonus to doing this, so I can go back and just listen to these conversations, right? Because obviously like the like majority of the conversation is based around hardcore, which wasn't the intention, but totally fine. But I'll also like when I have these conversations with people, I like to get to know them as a person. That's why I don't have like, you know, structured questions. That's why I don't have anything written down, because I want it to be as natural as possible.
Yeah, I do write down questions because I'm just kind of a socially anxious person. But like I've had people ask me before, which no offense to you if you're hearing this, I do not blame you, but I've had some people ask me for like the questions ahead of time, and I totally don't mind that at all. But sometimes I'm also like, just make sure that you're giving me the most genuine version of your answer too, because like that's the coolest thing about what I do to me, is like I don't know, I've been having kind of like some, I guess, esoteric thoughts about like my relationship to creativity recently, so excuse me, but like so like this was something that for a long time I've wanted to be like something that I do as a job, and then it's now kind of progressed to a thing where I've been thinking like my relationship to it, and like, does that like dissuade me from doing things sometimes? Because like, you know, it's another job to my brain sometimes, maybe. Again, I'm probably going to hear this later and be like, you're rambling. But the point being, I just really like the fact that all of my interviews are like organic moments and organic conversations. Like there's been interviews that I've done that I listen to the audio back sometimes, or like I read it and I'm just like, wow, I hear myself forming a friendship with these people right now. Or like, we just got to a topic that like, I thought I was like completely alone in like how I felt about that thing. And even if it's like something light and silly, like someone being like, oh my God, I also hate when this thing happens at a show. Or like, oh my God, I love when that thing happens. That reminds me of this thing that happened when I got into hardcore. Like we had the same beginnings, whatever. Yeah, again, I'm very concerned that sounded like I was rambling, but it's just so cool. It's real. Hardcore is real life, and that's really cool to me, that it's like, it's just an organic moment with another person. I don't know how to seal that off better.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Like, when I was getting into hardcore, or when I said getting in, when I was like in my early days of hardcore, I always think back to this one conversation, right? Because I used to hang out with this guy who was in a popular band, and it was just a trip that he was kind of like the like more experienced hardcore person, actually like hanging out with like these newer kids and kind of like guiding like me and my friends and kind of just mm-hmm. trying to point us in the right direction. And I always remember this one conversation, and I still can't remember how we even got on the topic. It was like him just ranting about all of us. And I remember he was going down like the line, and he pointed to one of my friends. He's like you're gonna drop out of hardcore, but it's totally fine because you're here right now. And then he got to me, and he was just like, he's like you're gonna be in it for life. I just get that vibe from you. And I don't know if I stuck around because of that conversation, but somehow he was right, because the guy that he said was going to drop out definitely dropped out, which was totally strange, because we're still cool, but like I wouldn't say we're friends. Like, I don't even have his phone number, but I feel like he just got to the point where it didn't interest him anymore. So he just stopped going to shows. But for me, I was like, all right, this shit still interests me. I love this shit. So I just stuck around. So I think back to that conversation, and I was like, damn, this guy was so influential on like my early years, because he put me onto so many bands. Took me on my one and only tour, which was awesome. Went on a whole week with First Blood, which was I couldn't ask for anything more for being a young how old was I? I had to have been like 17 or 18 whenever California mm-hmm. came out. We just went on tour with them, and it, just being able to see First Blood every night was like such a crazy thing, because I always wanted to go on tour. I thought it was like, you know, 100% fun, but that kind of opened my eyes. Like, no, it's not. Like, you know, there's some work involved. Yeah. We have to, you know, sell merch, and, you know, going to different scenes and having to deal with like politics and stuff. It was just like a really important experience for me, and I'm glad that I got to experience it at such an early stage, you know, being in hardcore, because, you know, that was back when California came out, like 2006, 2007. So that was like forever ago. So I think back to people like him and definitely appreciate the guidance, even though he's not even around anymore, which whatever, it happens. But whenever I'm able to talk to people that have been like, I always appreciate the people that have been around longer than me, because I'm like, okay, cool, you're like that rare breed that has stuck around for so long, because like, you've been here before me and you're still here. I respect that, and I like that so much, because I've seen so many people come and go, which is totally fine. That's your choice. I don't care, because they've missed out on tons of cool shit. It's just something that I think is very important for like the younger generation, is to have the people who've been around just to kind of you know, give them some pointers, maybe point them in the right direction. Show them a band or two or something. Take them to a show. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, so first of all, like the first thing you were saying was like people that are kind of around in the beginning and then they're not later. It's so interesting, because like when you're newer to hardcore, you don't realize people are going to do that because you love it so much. You're like, why would someone stop being interested in this? And like, for, you know, sometimes you could be like, oh my God, like this person doesn't like this anymore. That's crazy. Like, why are they doing that? But I've grown to like in time be like, okay, I'm still really thankful for that person for being around though, because you know, we still like shared that moment and everything, you know. But then the other thing you said about like having someone to kind of like show them the ropes. Oh, sorry. Someone just blew a firework outside. Anyway, yeah, to have someone to like show them the ropes. That's what's really interesting to me, is I do not want to sound like a kiss ass or anything, but there are like a lot of people in my scene that I used to think were like the cool old heads that I couldn't talk to, and like now they're people I would consider friends. And and I just like, I think sometimes, again, I think the internet is a great tool to discover things. I don't completely knock the fact that kids are discovering things on the internet. I just think that sometimes they get cheated out of that experience because they don't have like an actual person like guiding them through. They kind of just like show up and are like, okay, I'm just gonna like do whatever the internet told me to do, and like maybe I got some like internet mutual from fucking across the country that's gonna like tell me what fans are cool. Like, yeah, but that's not the same as having like a fellow person going to shows with you and being like, yeah, man, oh, you like this band, you should listen to that. So like, in a way, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking about it, I think that's kind of my goal, because I've always been like, the purpose of resonating is like, it's a little saying, it's like things, at first it was things that resonate with me, and now it's just like things that are resonating. And I want to be that help if like someone can't find someone that's going to like tell them what bands they might like, if they like this other band, or like, oh, I can't keep my eyes on like every part of the country, what's going on over there. Like, it's cool to me to think that like a kid that doesn't know that much about hardcore might see my blog and then be like, oh shit, I've never heard of, like, I live in California, I've never heard of World I Hate, but now like I'm gonna play that record, I'm gonna like hope they come over to California, you know? I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, no, I think it's a very important thing, because it is hard to know about everything that's going on, right? Because things can get lost with hype and popularity, which is totally fine. Like, I get it. But for someone like me, even myself, right, I like to think, and I'm pretty involved, and I listen to a lot of hardcore, but there are some bands that just kind of slip through the cracks, and I'm make it very clear, I'm not afraid to reach out to people to ask, like, hey, any new bands in your area that I should, be on the lookout for, or who should I be listening to from your area that I may not be familiar with? Because that's, how I find a lot of bands that come on the podcast. Because like, once I, kind of get that tip and check out the band, if I'm into them, like, hey, like, this is so sick, and I found out about this through a mutual friend, I think I should try to use the podcast to help push them. And that's my big thing, right? Is like, all the bands, or people from bands that I have on, it's because I genuinely like the music, and I want more people to be aware of it if they're not already. So I definitely think what you're doing with the blog is something very cool, because sometimes people can get lazy and not click the link, or maybe they may not know where to look. They might have missed the retweets from the people that they're following. So to have like a source like your zine to to look up some information that they might not be aware of, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and like, thank you, first of all. I got you on a list of what's going on in the Midwest if you would like it. But also, no, and I think it's cool too, because like, there's been some bands that I like, I don't know, I'm more of a reader writer type, so maybe this is a me exclusive thing, but like, sometimes I'll like not have a chance to get around to like listening to a band, but like an interview will pop up and I'll just kind of see what they're talking about, and I'll be like, oh, they sound like a really cool person, or like the things that they pull their like lyrical inspiration from are really cool. I didn't realize this album was about that, and then like that'll help me give them a chance too. So it's like kind of just, I guess, providing another channel for people to be like, okay, this resonates with me, that this person, what they're talking about, and then I'll give that band a chance.
And as far as the zine, are you on like any like sort of schedule for releasing them, or how do you work all that out?
So as far as like scheduling, so online, I would really like to be releasing an article every like, I don't know, at least 1 to 2 weeks, but life has just been, kind of in the way there. As far as the zine, I try to put one out once a year. They're just a little expensive. I thought that the good idea was like, I'm gonna buy a laser printer and I'm gonna print my own zines, and then quickly the price of toner kind of shot me down there. But I do want to put out another issue this year. I was kind of playing around with, which, sorry if someone hears this and I don't come through, but I was kind of playing around with an idea of like doing one with like bands I like on the Chicago Rumble, which is in about 3 weeks, I think. So maybe that'll come in the next couple months or so, but there's no like concrete plans of that next. So no, there's not a schedule. I just try to put one out once a year if I can, the physical one.
Okay, well, the laser printer, that's kind of interesting. You know, that's how extensive toner was.
Yeah.
So there's laser even more. Do you still have the printer? Is it still with you?
I do. I just said laser, and I don't even know if that's the right word. The kind of printer that takes toner. But yes, I do still have it. But like, so like behind the scenes, my last print of zines was like, I stopped short on a few of them because like, I just couldn't afford more toner. And then so for like, I sold at this Milwaukee pop-up, the Milwaukee Summer Gym a couple weeks ago, and I like reprinted, I think I did like 15 of them or something, and then it's like, okay, that's a whole toner cartridge. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So if anyone listening has a plug of somewhere that they get their zines printed, please hit me up, because this shit is getting pricey.
Yeah, I'm not from like, I've never done anything like that before, so I'm not even sure where, because like, I have friends who do zines, and I have friends who've done zines, right? They've started and stopped just because it is a lot of work, right? Like, yeah. I always tell people, it is work to be consistent, to build something up from nothing. But I feel like if you stick to it, just like you have with you know, resonating zine, it is cool to be able to have that nice payoff of having people kind of like respect what you do and you know, fuck with what you do and support you. Just trust me, I went from doing this podcast and having my coworkers laugh at me in the warehouse the next morning that it was uploaded to you know, people who I never thought would even give me the time of day come on the podcast, and you know, now this is like a weekly thing, and it wasn't easy, and I'm happy to have the support of my friends and to all the people in bands that have you know, given me the time of day and even you know, told their friends about it. So it's you know, definitely not something that I built overnight, but it's something that I am proud of, something that I, you know, still put in the time and effort into you know, day in, day out. So I encourage everybody, for anybody who wants to be creative, you know, with a zine, podcast, whatever, just go out and do it. That's the only way it's ever going to get done. Cause I like have this, friend, and he's tried to do the zine, which I feel bad because he's probably gonna hear this and know exactly that I'm talking about him, but he's tried to do the zine, and like, I've you know, connected him with people that I probably shouldn't have, because he's like wasted their time. And I'm just like, dude, you can't fucking do that. If you're gonna wanna you know, make your mark, or you know, have something cool, it's like, you gotta put in work. Like, this shit isn't gonna be handed to you overnight, because like, the number one thing I tell everybody, because like, you know, people will hit me up and ask for like podcast advice or whatever, and I'm just like, okay, the number one thing is just be consistent. That's it. Like, everything else, like, you know, like, you'll figure it out, but the most important thing is to be consistent. And I've heard that from all like the big podcasts that I listen to, and I'm like, yeah, like, that's true. Like, I'm here every week because I know that there's an episode dropping. And you know, that's how you build your fan base, right? People talk about you, you're there consistently, you're always you know, kind of you know, present. So that's like the one thing that I tell everybody. It's like, whatever you do, zine, you know, photographer, videographer, whatever, just fucking be consistent, because you can't just pop in you know, one day, disappear, and then pop up again and have people you know, and expect people to care. So
I get that for sure. I will say though, I think there's like different ways that you can be consistent that people might not think of. So like, I am definitely my own worst critic. I try not to do that, but like, I sometimes think like, oh, it's been like, you know, a little while since I like dropped a zine or dropped an article or whatever, because again, life gets in the way of our creative pursuits sometimes. But in the background of me like not having as much time to do that, it's because I started booking shows. So that's something. Or like every month I even if like I haven't put anything else out that month, I've been doing like I make a little flyer of all the shows that are going on in the Milwaukee, Northwest Indiana when that's going on, and Chicago area. And yeah, it really helps. It's really funny because like I didn't know if anyone was gonna care about it that much, but like I get probably a good amount of my followers on like the brand account from doing that every month, because people are like, oh cool, this is like how I can keep up with things. And like I've had people tell me like, oh, you've helped me and my friends like connect to hardcore so much more, because like we didn't used to know like where to look, where things were going on. And you know, like we've gone to your shows and then we go on your website and then we find out that you're like, oh, here's all the other shows that are going on. And yeah, that feels really good. So like I would really like to try to be more consistent with the writing, because I do like it, but you know, work schedules and things like that. But I'm glad that I can always stay connected to the community somehow by just like kind of popping in and being like, hey, here's some shows that are going on, here's some stories of like albums that just came out, how are you guys doing, tell me what you're liking in your area, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, because you're still putting in the effort to, you know, reach out and to,
yeah, even just stay tapped in with your audience somehow, you know.
100%. Like I'll never forget, I was at FYA 7, whatever year that was that like 2019? Yeah, I think it was 2019. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, I'm just a normal dude. I'm like walking across the floor, and I'm mad that I don't remember the kid's name, but it was this kid. He like stopped me. He was like, "Hey, are you Jamie?" And I was like, "Yeah, like what's up?" He's like, "Dude," he's like, he introduced himself, and that's why I feel so bad. But he introduced himself. He said he was from Alabama, so there's somebody in Alabama that I apologize that I forgot your name. But he was just like, "Hey, like I'm from Alabama. I listen to your podcast." And I'm like, I'm looking around like, "What the fuck? Like this is crazy." Because you got to think, like that was like the first time I like traveled to FYA, right? That was my first time to FYA. I was just there with friends, just minding my own business, and then yeah, just some guy just randomly stopped me, and I'm like, "Holy shit, this is insane." So. And even to this day, whenever anybody comes up to me and mentions the podcast, I'm truly grateful, because without people supporting and listening, I wouldn't be anything. I wouldn't be doing this. So it's always just such a trip that you know, things like that happen. So I appreciate everybody that supports what I do, because I'm just doing it to help the greater cause, which is keeping hardcore alive.
Yeah, like that's the thing, is when I started doing this, I never set out to like have anybody care about it, if that makes sense. I kind of was just like, I just want to like get out my feelings about these bands, and like, you know, obviously I wanted them to like see that I was saying nice things about them, because you know, I try to, whenever I have a compliment, give it to somebody and kind of show that I appreciate what they're doing. But like other than that, it was kind of just like, I'm just gonna do this because I like doing it, and like if people pay attention, whatever. And like initially when I was doing it, I was getting like, I don't know, like 10 people looking at a post and just being like, okay cool, I'm gonna make another one. Which sometimes I do kind of miss that phase, because I would kind of just talk about whatever I wanted and just be like, who cares. And I was just having a conversation with somebody about this yesterday, like I used to be like, I guess, a little sillier and make jokes and things like that. And I kind of want to get back into like putting that personality back into things, because at the end of the day, I just think some people that make media for hardcore just take themselves so seriously. And it's not wrong to take yourself seriously. Like, you know, definitely like put in effort, be consistent, have, you know, create your thing and then have people know about it. That's obviously how you continue to like spread your mission. But like, I don't know if I want to name drop them, but there was a publication that was writing in hardcore recently that I was also writing for that was scamming a bunch of people.
Oh, I was definitely gonna ask you about this. I feel like you should name them.
Okay, Discovered Magazine out of the UK. That was somebody that I was like, oh, I'm just gonna like write for like a little money on the side and like, you know, whatever, like stuff like that. That also contributed to me like not knowing what to write for my own publication, because I'm like, okay, I just interviewed like Tsunami, Flat Spot, whatever. Like, I can't, am I just gonna be like, hey, can I also get like a second interview for my publication? Like, I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, when I worked for them though, there was such a business approach to things. And that's cool if that's what some people want to do, but I also was like, man, we're just writing about underground music at the end of the day. Like, we don't gotta be like, let's offer these people brand deals and advertisement and whatever. Like, at the end of the day, I'm just doing this because I want to help promote these bands and because this is fun to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, ask away.
Well, how do you feel having a hand in taking them down?
So, truthfully, I felt really weird about it for a really long time because I'm a very like overly empathetic, nice person. I feel like people that say they're a nice person aren't actually a nice person, but like I don't know. I was able to see it from like the perspective of the magazine and be like, oh man, like, am I a bad person for doing this? Like, did they really, is it just me? Am I over dramatizing? Because I, as you can see from my account, I like struggled with it for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, once I realized that it was happening to so many people, once I saw Kat's post about it, I was like, okay, this is like bigger than just me. And I need to like help make people aware that this is a kind of predatory place to start out your writing career.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the thing, is even if I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm gonna like call this thing out, like what'll really fire me up is like the justice of the people, if that makes sense. So yeah, I mean, again, it's weird sometimes because I just like, I don't know, that's a big thing to be like, yeah, you're the one that like helped take down this magazine that was going on for like 10 years, but like, it's something.
And how did you get involved with them? Because okay, from my position, right, I have friends who have like been involved with I guess people from the magazine, and
yeah,
I was, and this is me, not, I've never spoken to anybody from the mm-hmm. the outlet, but I had like two sets of friends, right? I had one side being like, oh yeah, so-and-so's hooking it up with this and all this. And I'm like, dude, your band is brand new, not that good. Respectfully, right? Respectfully, not that good. What this person's promising you is not real. Let me just like break it down to you. This isn't real. He was so adamant. He's like, no, they're a good person. Like, you should reach out, have them on your podcast. Like, they're our manager now. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I hope everything goes well, because I have this other group of friends who are telling me the exact opposite about like their dealings with the company, that person. So this is me being neutral. I'm not going to get involved. I'm just going to mind my own business. So I'm hoping that your situation goes well, because my friends, their situation was exactly what you're telling me, but it went completely bad. So good luck. Yeah. I've heard so many bad things behind the scenes, but you know, it's like for me, my podcast, the things I see on the internet, I'm not ever really into like, you know, bullying people, starting drama, whatever. No, I just you know, go on the internet to have fun. I do the podcast to spread awareness about things that I like. I don't really want to waste mm-hmm. my time talking about or trying to tear people down. Like, you know, I could,
no,
but I, you know, it's like, what's the point? So anyways, I was just like, I'm just not even gonna say anything, but I just would hear so many like weird things, like, yeah, you know, like people getting charged for a feature. I'm like, what the hell? Like, this is what, this is so weird. Like that'd be like if I were, yeah, was charging people to come on my podcast. Like that's like not right. That's freaking, mm-hmm, that's strange. This is hardcore. Like what is this turning into? So, you know, yeah, I just never just really cared, just because it was just like, yeah, it was just like not something I wanted to get involved with. And then sure enough, you know, I read Kat's story, then I read your story, and then the whole thing comes crumbling down. And I'm like, why did it take so long?
It was a really interesting couple days, because I was like telling my normie coworkers about it, because I work somewhere where we're definitely all like friends.
Okay.
And they're just trying to like follow along and be like, oh, okay, and what's hardcore again? But like, it was very interesting, and they're like, well, I don't know, but we're on your side. But yeah, how I got involved, and again, I'll try to like keep this as short as I can, because like, again, I'm not really in the business of like talking shit. I kind of just was like, you know what, Georgia and the magazine are gonna like get theirs, I guess. That sounds bad, but like, it's gonna go how it's supposed to go eventually, and like, I'm just gonna kind of step back. But yeah, basically what happened is they so the owner of the magazine was friends with a close friend of mine who is very, very cool and does a lot of cool things in the hardcore space, but I also don't know if they want their name attached to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna, yeah, anyway, but so that person was like, oh, look, there's like a writing call, and like co-signed me, helped me, like not helped me get it, but like said like, oh yeah, this is the kind of person you want like working for your magazine. And like bands that I had worked with also apparently did this, according to like the magazine owner. Completely, I didn't ask for it, they just told me all of this when they were trying to like sell me the dreams. And so I was like, oh, cool. All right. I know a bunch of people that are like standing behind this, you know? So like, this has to be a cool opportunity. And yeah, the longer I went without getting paid, the longer the rates seemed super low, the scamming of like, not like being promised like, yeah, you can do like, we're going to do the scene for Riot Fest, you're going to go to Riot Fest for free. And then like that not happening, just all this stuff. I kind of just watched it crumble, and then was like, I'm just going to like distance myself from this and see what happens. They tried to like send me emails that were like, do you still want to write for us? And I'm like, yeah, if you give me my money. So eventually when Kat posted that thing, my other friend sent it to me and was like, hey, look at this. I think you're going to care about this. And I was like, oh my God. So this is my message to anyone on that situation. If you were a band and you were approached and either scammed out of money or like asked to be scammed out of money, I guess, don't listen to Jamie. Your band might be good. No, I'm kidding. But you in whatever stage that your band is in, you don't need a bunch of staff and money behind you. Just do the thing, just play the shows, make connections to promoters and make friends in hardcore, and just enjoy hardcore for what it is. You don't need to make it into like, you don't need to pay $3,000 to somebody for them to advertise you in their magazine. That'll come when it's meant to come, if it's meant to come. As far as the people that worked for them, yeah, I mean, that was a really manipulative situation. But like, again, you like hardcore, you want to talk about hardcore, you want to do things for hardcore, keep doing that. And again, you don't need somebody's like big shiny name to like help you get there, if that makes sense. Yeah, so I'm sorry for anyone that was involved with it, because that was definitely a lot.
Yeah, really strange situation, because trust me, I even had friends tell me like, hey, I'm gonna work for this magazine, and I'm just like, what is going on? Like, I don't think, and it's like, and also I didn't want to like, you know, kind of turn them sour against these people that I didn't know. It's just things that I've heard from people that I respect and trust. So I'm just like, all right, I don't think they would lie to me about this, but all right, if my friend says he's going to go get a job, and he never got it, so I'm like, dude, this is so insane. This is so weird that something like this could like exist at that scale, mm-hmm. and it be able to stick around, right? Because I had heard so many bad things. And yeah, it was just so weird to me. And
But there was a ton of really talented people involved. Like, don't let the idea that someone like worked for them sort of paint them with the same brush as the owner or like the bands or anything, because like, again, a lot of people just had no idea that was happening. And I'm happy to see them move on to projects that are not going to scam them.
And it sucks to have such a negative view on something because of like one person, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen some people be like, I don't want to write anymore after this, and I'm just like, I can totally understand, because there's a point where, again, like I said, I was like, oh god, is this like what the quote-unquote industry of writing is like? Like, I'm gonna be, you know, underpaid and like have to like chase around getting paid stuff. I assure you, that is not normal. I would like reach out to my friends that wrote for like bigger publications and I'd be like, what are you talking about? You should be getting paid like at least $100 more for like this thing. Or like, yeah, places will pay you more easily, like you don't have to chase them around. And I'm just like, whoo, what a choice.
Yeah, it sucks that it happened, but at least you're able to kind of like live on past it, if that makes sense, because obviously the magazines know more, but you're still doing your thing.
Yeah, if anything, it just makes me want to be like doing something that feels like it has integrity behind it, if that makes sense.
No, 100%, because yeah, to be there, you know, in it, and you're one of the people that experienced one of those bad situations, so it's crazy, you know, because for people to put in their own time and, you know, to give work to something like that and to not get paid, to get scammed, it's crazy. Wait, did you ever get your money? Is that okay to ask?
Yeah. So I got an amount. I don't want to, like, it's in the thread. I'm not gonna immortalize the whole thing, because the more I think about this, owner of that magazine does come after people with lawyers sometimes, so now I'm kind of like, but
that's right. Over here at JamerK.com, yeah. JamerK podcast, we believe it or not, I got a lawyer, so so it's okay. You don't have to disclose the amount, but I'm just curious.
I got some of it.
Okay.
It was a little less than half of what I was supposed to get, which was already not a good number. It was a little under $50. But it was supposed to be more than that. Again, I'm not going to tell people my like Twitter handle, because I'm kind of laying low at the moment for other reasons. But
oh, wait, are people after you?
My job is trying to unionize.
Oh, okay.
But anyway,
got it.
No,
you know what's strange is because I don't speak about it too much on here, but I do have a corporate job, and I know that there's like people who have like Googled me, which is like the weirdest thing, right? You Google me, you go to my website, it's all a bunch of hardcore people and pictures of me and my friends. I took down all my blogs, if I remember correctly. I've not looked at that section in forever. So for anybody who was reading my blogs, I'll post one again eventually. But but I do have a website. God, I need to update my about me section. It is strange to know that there's people at work that I don't even like talk to on like a personal level that like knows things about me, which I'm like, it's out there in the public, so I can't be like too upset about it, but it is weird when like, you know, she's like, oh, they like know things about me, but it's like, it's weird but also kind of funny, because I'm like, all right, cool, like go look at my pictures tab, you can see pictures of me and a bunch of my friends, which I have like a million pictures that I have not uploaded to that section that need to go up there. But yeah, if you want to know a lot about me outside of K-pop and the podcast, just go to the website, jmerk.com. there's some cool stuff there. people listen, they obviously want to hear you be yourself. And I think that's like the best thing about podcasts is these long form conversations where people are able to speak comfortably and be themselves. That's like the environment that I'm trying to provide when I have people on the podcast.
Yeah, I think you're doing a great job. But yeah, so as naturally as we can return to the other thing,
Yeah, jmerik.com. We have lawyers. We have multiple lawyers. I don't know if I can say the name publicly, but we have representation. So feel free. So
long story short, I got a little, I think like at least less than half of what I was supposed to get of the money. But honestly, I was just like, let me just chalk that up to a lesson learned. Yeah. And I just stopped offering to write for them after that. It was crazy. If you've seen my story of like, I made a like Twitter thing about it. There is the exact number and everybody was repeating it back to me like, what?
Yeah, it's insane, but like I said, at least you're able to make it out and still be able to do what you do. Because, and I don't like to dance on anybody's grave, but I feel like they kind of got what they deserve. Because you can't treat people like that and expect to get away with it, especially in an age with social media and for people to have a following and to be so respected in a scene like this. Like you can't treat people like that and expect to get away with it. It's not right.
Yeah, exactly. Like at risk of sounding like a family restaurant, we're all a family here. No, but like that's the thing about hardcore that's really interesting is if you are an outsider that's trying to come in and like make money off of it, you might not realize that a lot of us all know each other and we'll stick up for each other and have each other's backs and like, you know, it's kind of a network of like, hey, I'm also experiencing this. And like, basically things that happen in the dark don't really stay there for long. I feel like when it comes to anything being done against anyone in hardcore, and if it's not that way in your scene, I hope it becomes that way because people should not be able to be bad people freely.
100%. Speak up. Yeah. And it might not be the popular thing to do, but if you got to be the person to speak up and get a little bit of hate to spark some change, like I feel like that's like the important thing. Might suck when it's going down, but I feel like long-term big picture stuff, like that's what you have to do.
I think a lot of us stand against, well, not a lot of us, the purpose of hardcore is to like stand against bullshit, basically. Like it's anti-establishment, it's anti like politics that are fucked up going on around in the country and around the world depending where you're from, things like that. So like if you have someone being an asshole in your scene and you have like the safety to tell people about it, which in this situation, all that could really happen is just that you get sued. But I think there's too many people to sue at this point. Just make your voice heard because people will care about injustice. That's why we're here.
Yes. Go listen to Warzone for a little reminder. Yes. Okay. Well, I'm curious, when it comes to bands from Chicago, do you have a favorite band from Chicago?
So Chicago specifically, me think. I mean, obviously I really like everything done by this group of people, but MH Chaos, Hold My Own, Bitter Thoughts, and also some of the people in those bands have a couple shoegaze bands on the side, which are Illusion of Choice and Turquoise. Those are really cool new bands. Otherwise in Chicago, if you like more like punk leaning stuff, Chalk is a really cool band. My friend Jake is in that. Shout out Jake. He's gonna smile for 0.5 seconds when he hears this, maybe. I'm sure I'm forgetting more people from Chicago, but if I could give a warm shout out to Milwaukee Hardcore as well. they are like, I would say that's like our sister scene, because it's like an hour away, and they have so many good bands out right now, which would be like Enervate, Infamy, World I Hate, definitely forgetting some. Oh, and Still from Chicago as well. Forgot that one. Bottom line, there's a lot of stuff happening in the Midwest right now, and not to be that guy that's like, oh, my small scene on top, but like my small scene on top. There's a lot going on here, and I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, and I have to shout out Big Laugh. They're doing some cool stuff right now, too.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, shout out Milwaukee. I have a friend. I'm not sure where he's at these days, but he used to play in a band from Milwaukee. And it was the craziest thing to me, because I knew him because of his band. You know, didn't know him personally. And then somehow he was working with one of my friends. Like, he like traveled like cross country. I'm like, why the hell did you like move from Milwaukee to, I mean, and he was like temporarily staying in the city of Indio before they were like moving the company to Las Vegas, and this is like a long time ago, but it was like the weirdest thing. I was like, what the hell, like how did this even happen? But knowing him through his band, and he eventually left the band and you know, moved across country, and we became like, you know, really good friends. And it was just such a trip to me. I'm like, dude, like how did you even end up here? And it was so strange. But I always had because of his band, I was just a fan of what was going on in Milwaukee. So it's cool that here in 2023 there's still a bunch of good bands coming out of that scene.
Yeah, we just, so like I said a little earlier, we just had this thing called the Milwaukee Summer Jam. Mm-hmm. And first of all, so Tom, the bassist of Enervate, he's also one of the people that like books the majority of the shows in the city. I forgot Reality Check. Emilio, don't yell at me. Anyway, yeah, Tom, he was kind of like, when I decided I wanted to start booking shows, that's the person that I called, and like I interviewed his band, and then afterwards we talked for like another hour about that. So like I'm endlessly grateful for all his contributions to the scene. And like, so we just had this event called the Milwaukee Summer Jam, which had like a pop-up, and then it was like this super long all-day show with like 15 bands or something. And yeah, his band Enervate, so they had like just this massive set. The singer Lon was like, it's a party, like come up here, and like just front to back in like a pretty sizable venue, I'd say. There was just people dancing, going off, stage diving, everything. They had like a money gun with my friend Tom's face printed on it, and like Milwaukee on the back, like Milwaukee money. If you've seen it, I'll post it on my story the day this goes live so you guys can see it. But yeah, it's just really, really cool. That's just like an example of a band that like, we also have a Discord for the scene that's really active, that has a bunch of like younger kids in it that are just getting into things. And so like they'll be in the Discord, they'll meet everybody, they'll come to the shows, they'll pop off and be like, oh my God, like, yeah. So I guess in a way that's like their internet old head, you know? And yeah, it's just been really cool because it's not like anyone's like, oh, Milwaukee, that's the first place I got to go on my tour. Or at least it wasn't for a really long time. And now it's like they've got a bunch of cool venues, they have a bunch of cool bands, really dedicated promoters there and everything. And yeah, not to knock on Chicago, because I love Chicago hardcore too, but like, I feel like we need more venues. So a lot of things have been kind of like going up there instead. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just really proud of what people have made out of their little scene up there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no. And I feel like people should be proud of their scenes, big or small, as long as there's people working to keep it alive. And I always feel like I have like a skewed view of things, because I'm from Southern California, right? I grew up in the Palm Springs area. Then I moved to Orange County, and there's never been a lull in hardcore for us out here, because, you know, we have the Inland Empire, San Diego, Orange County, LA, and that's just Southern California. But just those scenes alone, throughout like the history of hardcore, there's always been cool shit going on. So I always respect the like those like smaller scenes, and you know, no disrespect, but like the the scenes that are just out there, but like people working hard. Like I always have to credit, you know, like Louisville, and you know, just watching through the years from like, you know, what LDB is today from what it was when it started. It's such a cool thing to see, you know, people's hard work pay off, and for people to have such dedication to their scene and to not give up, and you know, even when people didn't respect it, for the people to put in work and to want to keep it alive and know that it is a great thing. So for me to be able to look at it today and be like, that's so cool to be able to have seen it grown, and for them to have respect, to have their fest be one of the, like, you know, major fests that people look forward to every year. It's such a cool thing. And I always tell everybody, there's good hardcore everywhere. You just have to find it. Cause like, exactly. Obviously it's easier to discover the newer popular bands from the, like, you know, way more popular scenes, which, you know, it's fine, whatever. But, you know, when you look at a band like Knock Loose to come from Louisville, who, you know, they weren't the most popular scene, but for them to rise up and become like, you know, top one, top two band in hardcore right now, it's crazy and it's cool.
Yeah, that's so we, like I said, we have in a couple weeks in Chicago. How did I forget Karma? Sorry, there's like so many cool bands from out here that I just like.
You forgot my friends in Bovice.
That's true. Also very good band. We got Sector. We got so much, but I'm sorry. I just pulled up. Oh, fuck. Sorry. Odd Man Out. Days Lost from Indiana. I forgot about Indiana for a minute. That's the thing. Those three scenes are kind of, I guess, a shared group of people. So that's why initially when you're like, oh, Chicago, I'm like, again, when you're here, you're family.
That's awesome.
It's just a lot of, but anyway. Okay. Sorry. That was probably jumbled sounding, but we have the Rumble coming up in Chicago, which I hope that fest just continues to like get bigger and bigger. But that's coming soon, and we've the two headliners are Cro-Mags and Killing Time. So obviously really big cool people to have here. But like someone commented, because one of the headliners dropped and then they replaced him with Take Offense, which why would you be mad that Take Offense was their replacement? But someone's like, oh, can I get like a partial refund because Rotting Out's not playing anymore? And I commented and was like, just come to the fest anyway and find your new favorite band. Like, that's the thing, is I have so much respect for the big names, but also I'm just like, dude, there's fucking End It, Raw Brigade, all these like huge bands on here. Like, you're gonna have fun anyway. I don't get caught up on like some band from out of state that you've never seen before. Not that like you can't be excited for people that you never thought were gonna come to your area, because of course I'm like that too, but I'm like, hardcore is happening in front of you. Just be excited for what you got, you know?
Yeah. There's a band from Buffalo that's playing, Spaced. I think they're amazing. I love
Spaced. They're so nice. They're such nice people, and they're so fun to watch.
Yeah. I think that is weird. How do you give a partial refund?
So partial refund is maybe like not the right word for it, but the guy was like, he deleted his comment. He said something like, oh, can I at least get into the after show for free now?
What?
And like the best organizer is like, no. And he's like, okay, well, I just thought it wouldn't hurt to ask. And it's like, I don't know, man. Again, it's Rotting Out. I don't know how often they're going to come here, but like, that's a band that makes, I guess, like best lineups sometimes.
Yeah.
Go see them another time. You're going to, again, you've got all these cool bands in front of you that are from all over the place. I mean, I'm looking at this and we got like out of the country, we got like Texas, California, Baltimore, all these things. And you're going to be like, this one band I wanted to see isn't playing anymore. I expect to get something for $20 for free. No.
Yeah, it's like, that's not how it works. That's so strange, because that's normal, right, for a band to drop a fest, right? Because to get so many bands to show up like on time in one place, yeah, it's a big ordeal. So for one band to drop, that's not that surprising, because it happens, you know, things come up, like it's not the end of the world.
But the point of mentioning that after LDB is, like, I know LDB is kind of like the big Midwestern fest right now. Mm-hmm. And first of all, that's a trip, because I think I went to my first one in like 2018 or 19, when it was like, it was in like a, what would be like a bigger venue, but it definitely wasn't in like this massive like school gym looking thing that they had it in last year. I could be wrong where it is. That's not a diss. It just looked massive. Like, there was just so many people there. And the Rumble is like a show that takes place in kind of like a venue we use for just like regular shows all the time. Or not regular, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. A venue we use regularly. And that's not something that's really on people's like radar of like the fest they go to every year, I'd say. But like, I hope that just grows and grows, because again, there's so much effort put into that fest. And like, again, it's not light work to get Cro-Mags or Killing Time to come play here. So I'm really excited. I hope I hope it goes really well, and I hope all the kids really love it. And then that kind of like builds the people that come every year. And I just hope for a lot of growth in the scene that continues from people that want to be here, make a genuine connection to what's going on, and we just keep having a good time together, you know?
100%. I feel like that's an important thing, right? The fest happens every year, and that's one way to grow, is to be consistent. So for them to be able to come back again this year, I think it's awesome. And it's always cool to see, because trust me, I always knew booking shows was hard. But it wasn't until like I announced that I was like booking shows and like having to like field all these offers and trying to organize shows and stuff, like I can't even imagine what booking a fest is like. So for them to be able to book a fest consistently, I truly respect that, and I think it's awesome. And especially to be able to have a fest in your hometown, I think that's something special too. Because obviously, yeah, like for me living here in Southern California, there's Sound and Fury, which is awesome. Shout out Sound and Fury. But being able to travel across the country to go and see other fests, I think that's like a real cool thing too, because I like to kind of try to soak up the local vibe and talk to people. Because obviously, it's not the best representation of what's going on there locally, but there's always a good turnout from the local kids. So that's one thing that I like, is to be able to travel to fests in other parts of the country and just to kind of get to see what hardcore is like in those parts of the country. Because for me, what's normal is being here in Southern California, and the bands come here and we experience it our way. But when I travel to other states and stuff, it's really interesting and fun to be able to see it in another light.
Yeah, and like you said, I just started booking shows in the last like year. And I'm super grateful for all the shows I've gotten to do. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I imagine this is what having a kid feels like, because you go through all this, like, okay, we got this band. Oh, this band dropped. Oh, we got this venue. Just kidding. The venue can't do it anymore. Like, all this stuff. And then at the end of it, I'm like, wow, I love booking shows. I can't wait to do this again. And my friends are like, you can't wait? You had to contact 5 venues? And okay. But it really is like just really cool and rewarding, and something I always wanted to do. So how that, like, translating that to a fest in my head, the idea of like sitting down with multiple people and being like, okay, here's like, I don't know, like 30 to 50 bands or something that we all want to book, and we got to pay them this amount, we got to get them here on this day, we got to this, what goes together, like, massive props. And not only props to that part of the process, but like, so the fest that I've been to otherwise would be LDB, This Is Hardcore, and FYA a couple times. I really admire how, especially like, I think it's especially in FYA and this hardcore, but like LDB does a great job as well. They get bands that they wouldn't be able to like just have, you know, play on a random Tuesday, but at the same time, they do a really good job of showcasing like smaller bands from their scene. So that the people that, you know, come for the big names will also be like, I don't know, like, okay, I'm like a 15-year-old kid who really likes Drain and that's all I'm here for. But like, oh, I've never heard, you know, this smaller band. I didn't even know this was in my area. I'm going to start going to shows in my area now because, you know, now I know that this is happening. I don't know. I think they curate the vibes of their local scenes very well alongside the fest bands.
100%. I feel like that's a like it's a great way to showcase what's going on, because these big bands, like the bigger bands, people know that stuff. So it's when you get down to like the middle of the flyer, the bottom of the flyer, that's where people start to be like, oh, I may not be familiar with these bands. But sometimes those bands in the middle of the flyer, bottom of the flyer, get better reactions than some of the headliners. So it's just like it's cool to be able to experience those moments, like, okay, like this set for sure is going to pop off because everybody knows that this band is up next, but like their time is right now. So like those are the moments that I really enjoy, when you're just like, oh, like you can feel it, like, okay, this set's going to be insane.
Yeah, for sure. That's the thing, is like, you know, it's the hardcore spirit. It's kind of like helping each other out with things and being very connected. It's kind of like, okay, you know, this band might have got like some of the, like, again, like TikTok kids or like internet hardcore kids to come out that are like newer and might not know a lot of things, but then it's like, oh, I came for, I'm trying to think of like a bigger show. Yeah, if even again like the Rumble, like, oh, I came for Zulu, who's like a really popular band right now, but I had never heard of Big Laugh, and I was in the room and Big Laugh started playing, and now that's my favorite band. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And shout out to TikTok. Whenever I post snippets from the podcast on TikTok, I don't hashtag it. I don't at reply anybody. I don't do anything. And somehow, like, it just finds its way to like these like hardcore kids on TikTok, and I think it's so insane, but cool. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, thanks for the interactions. I hope this helps educate you in some sort of way. I hope this puts you on to something new.
Yeah, I have like, I definitely have a love-hate relationship, I think, like I said earlier, with, you know, the again, as people refer to them, the TikTok kids. But like, that's the thing, is like, at the end of the day, I have no problem with people using the internet as a way to find hardcore, especially because, you know, that's partially what I did. I just hope, you know, I had this conversation in a recent interview I did with Seb from Regulate. So I was like, you know what, come from wherever you're going to come from, just respect what's going on in the scene that you're coming into, and you know, I hope that you're making like an actual connection to it, and it's not just like, this is something to do on the weekends, this, ooh, it looks like I can like push people, so like I'm gonna come on down to hit people for free convention, you know, like, it's something that has the ability to really like change people's lives and put something positive in it for them. And I hope that that's what a lot of these kids are doing with their time here.
Yeah, I just hope people show up, have fun, and want to participate, right? That's like my big thing, is it's so easy, or okay, maybe not that easy, but for people to just show up, pay your ticket, and then be in the room, that's like baseline stuff, right? But for people to want to get more involved by starting a band, booking a show, doing a zine, doing a podcast, whatever, I feel like that's where I want people to want to strive for, because those are the things that are going to continue to keep the scene alive. Because if people stop putting in the effort to repost a flyer or to start bands, in time scenes can die out. Like I've seen it happen. So that's my biggest thing, is I want people to just get more involved, right? And this is someone, or coming from someone who has done multiple things, not all by choice, and I know how difficult things can be, but it all takes effort. Like, scenes aren't born overnight. It's all due to hard work. Like you can go to any, like, you know, scene that's active. There are key people that are working hard to keep it together, because it's not just something that's having a mind of its own. No, it's a group of people putting in effort to keep one thing alive. So I just want just anybody listening to this, just to please get more involved any way you can.
Yeah, exactly. Like, appreciate the effort that's been put into your scene, and then, you know, if it really makes a difference in your life, give it back. Again, by, like, creating a band, a zine, whatever, even just, like, being someone that, like, goes to every show and is, or not even every show, just, like, goes to shows and gets involved and, you know, gives your thanks to the people that have, like, done things for you. I'm not asking you to, like, again, kiss people's ass or anything, but, yeah, this scene has been made before you got there. Appreciate it. And if you have the means, give something back.
100%. Angie, mm-hmm. This has been awesome. I'm happy to have had you on the podcast. But before we go, is there anything else you would like to say?
Again, I think I pretty much gave everybody I could think of my shout outs. If I missed anyone, my bad. But yeah, I'm really appreciative that you wanted to talk to me. I'm really appreciative of anyone who listens to this. Yeah, just get involved with hardcore, and just if you have the means to give something back, do it. Thank you for listening, and thank you for talking to me.
No problem. Appreciate what you do. Go support Angie. Go follow her on Instagram. Go support Resonating Zine. Go listen to motherfucking Warhound. And we'll be back soon. Thank you. Goodbye.